Well, friends, this is new for us, but it is not new for the people of God. And one of the things that we've been talking about as we really discern who we are is to be people of disciples of Jesus. And that discipleship doesn't just look like one way in one direction, but it's communal. We've shared this thing that says that we disciple one another by the stories in which we live through our faith. That it's by your story and my story that I know Jesus better. It's through how you experience the word, how you experience prayer, how you live that helps me understand who Christ is. And so this, as a core part of who we are, we want, this is where it was birthed, a decision to be disciples who come and talk together, who learn together, who experience together, who walk away with shared experience and knowledge from one another. And so what you'll hear is things is a little different. Even this teaching time, as you notice, kind of responses that I had somebody ask me, like, is this what we normally do? I was like, no, but this is what we should be doing. We should be sharing our hearts with one another. We should be learning from one another. We shouldn't just hold the learning in a few hands, but a multitude of hands. And so this morning has already been different. It'll continue to be different. But we want you to, like we have always said, come to this with open arms and open hands, not only to receive, but also to share. Because you don't always only receive in your hands, but you have something to give as well. And so we are going to walk into our time of teaching, which will look a little different. And I'm going to invite our kids up to share a little bit about prayer.
Well, friends, our Pinelight kids have been working on something else to offer you this morning, as we have been through a lot of lessons on what prayer is downstairs. And so this morning we are going to take some time to share with you what the students have prepared about what prayer is and what prayer means to them. So we've got some words to share, we've got some motions to share, and we are really excited to bring this before you this morning. So will you please bring your attention to the front? Prayer is
talking to God.
Prayer is
listening to God.
Prayer is
resting on God.
Prayer is
rejoicing with God.
Blow, Emma. Blow. River can blow. Nah. River can do it. Prayer is
crying to God.
Prayer is
peace with God.
Nice. So good. Prayer is
being with God.
Prayer is
asking God for help.
Nice job. And everybody's got a stuffy. Prayer is
being loved by God.
Okay, you can talk to your stuffy. Wonderful.
Friends, we are starting a series called Practicing the Way. And this is really what it looks like for us as disciples to live like Jesus. One of the things that we often hear about is that Jesus brings life and life abundantly. And one of the things we say is if you want a life of Jesus, you got to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. And so this is where we're talking about. If you want the life of Jesus, you got to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. And so we're looking at what the practices of Jesus were and how we can too implement what is going on. So we're going to introduce a video that is going to help a conversation. So I want you to take a look. This is by the Bible Project, and it's talking about prayer, and then we're going to have a conversation around it.
Why is Jesus interested in short prayers? Well, Jesus told his disciples, don't use meaningless repetition like the nations, because they suppose that they will be heard on account of their many words. In the time of Jesus, people from the cultures around Israel would commonly pray really long prayers. They might throw in the names of many different gods to increase their chances of being heard by at least one of them, or they might flatter the gods with compliments and fancy titles, hoping to persuade them to pay attention. In 1 Kings chapter 18, The prophets of Baal pray all morning long to Baal, and they get no response. In Acts chapter 19, a mob in Ephesus shouts a prayer to the goddess Artemis for 2 hours before the city clerk tells them to give it a rest. For Jesus, prayer is not about winning an audience with God or compelling God to do something he doesn't want to. Jesus portrayed God as a father who deeply cares about his children. As he says, "Your father knows what you need before you even ask him." Jesus spent a lot of time praying, yet he taught us a very short prayer that is not designed to be impressive or to persuade God. It is a beautiful and short and simple prayer, meant to align our hearts and desires with God's heart and desires.
So friends, this morning in our Practicing the Way series, we have a multitude of practices that Jesus participated in, but also taught his disciples to participate in as well. And the first one we're going to talk about this morning is prayer. And that we really want to be people who commune with God, who experience God. And one of the things that we talk about in our lives as discipleship, we've said this multiple times and we will always say this, is that we have three things that really center ourselves in discipleship. It's to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And this year we're talking about this idea of what does it look like for us to become with Jesus. Because sometimes we can just sit in being with Jesus and then we get stuck. But the goal of discipleship is not just to be with Jesus, but to become like him as you spend time with him. And so we are just going to continue to have this conversation of what does it look like for us to be with Jesus. And so I actually want to jump to our scripture today. And this is a scripture that you may know. And so if you do, I'd like you just to say it. If you don't, can you read it on the screen with us? This is the Lord's Prayer. And so it says this. "Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those debts." Yep, I'm used to sinners. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others' sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And so this morning, we want to have a conversation, and I want to ask this question for you to share. And I want you to, if you're going to share, please share it loud enough, and I'll repeat it. But I have this question for you. How do you pray? How do you pray? And what helps you pray? This is meant to be kind of conversational. And I know this is going to be totally weird, but we'll get used to it. But like, how do you pray? What helps you pray? A broken heart? A contrite heart? Yep. Time. Tell me more. She's like, I don't like that. Time in a quiet place. Yes, that is hard to get it as a mom. Yep. What else? Loving God. Love it. Thank you, boys. You left. Yep. What else? What was that?
Gratitude.
Yes. So it's taking time in gratitude to either write them out or say them out. I know people have often a time where they do a gratitude prayer. That's awesome. How else? What was that? A hunger for Jesus. Right. Like that part of like not doing it just as an obligation. That's hard. Because I grew up sometimes like I had to check the box, right? Prayer and my quiet time with Jesus. Those were the two things I was told to do every day. And I just made sure to check the box. Yeah, what else? How do you pray?
Distractions.
Yes. Right? Oh, man. There's so many distractions. Yeah.
Thinking about others.
Yeah. Like just that spontaneous. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So having that posture of thanksgiving, that posture of, hey, Jesus, I know I'm not perfect. And then just the prayer for what is happening around you in your current events. I love that you said like both like posture, like sometimes a different posture puts you in a different mood, right? And then you also said like frequency. One of the things that we did it as a church, we did a thing called 929 in our Holy Spirit. We said 9 a.m., 2 p.m., and 9 p.m. Just set your alarms. If you go to bed before 9 p.m., I'm sorry, I forgot. There's some people in the room that do that. But right, just that, like, that part of like, hey, I want to pray regularly and be prompted. I have a question for you also. Like, what do you struggle with? What do you struggle with? Like, what struggles do you have or questions do you have around prayer? What? You ask questions to your mom? Yep. About prayer? Uh-huh. Yep. About struggles? Yep. That's my son. What else? What questions or struggles do you have when it comes to prayer? Yeah. Why do I have things when people just like me don't have them? Right, going to God and saying, I don't understand this. And then sometimes you just sit, right? Yeah. Ooh. Man, our youth asked this question too. Does God answer prayers? Does God answer prayers? Some might say, sometimes. Maybe not this one. Yeah. Haley, did you have something? No? Okay. Yeah? Questions about like how like friendships are working or how they're going. Yeah, like asking God questions like, I don't understand why this friendship is so hard or why they're hurting me. Yes. Yeah. Do you need to pray every day? Oh, that is such a good question. Do I have to answer that now? And the leading theologian? Oh man. I would like to. But can I admit something to you? Prayer is not the thing that I naturally go to. And I'm saying this as a pastor. There are other people on our staff now and in the past. When we've had meetings, we've had conversations, and my first go-to isn't prayer. And so I've asked my friends who prayer is really something that is close to their heart. I ask them to help lead me and remind me to pray. Not as a guilt that I am something less because I haven't prayed, but it's something that I'm learning to grow with. And so just like this, let me ask your friend, like you have a good friend, right? Yeah. And we all have good friends, but sometimes we don't talk to them every day. Does that mean your friend likes you any less? No, it just means they're excited the next time they see you. I think Jesus has that same thing. If you didn't get to him that day, you didn't call him or text him, you know, the next time he's going to answer. He's not going to, he is so delighted to be with you. What other questions? Oh, yeah, so why do people distract us from Jesus? Yeah, that question of like, when we're around people and we're trying to be like Jesus. Anybody else been like that? Like, you're trying to be like Jesus and then somebody comes near and you're like, ooh, I don't want to be like Jesus. And you're like, why? Oh, that's so good. If you're not praying that prayer, please pray that prayer, because that's me all the time. I feel in good company. Yeah. Oh, how many people think like, I don't know what to say or how to say it? Or, ooh, maybe I grew up with this too. This like not knowing what to say. But if somebody just taught me the exact right things to say, maybe God would answer my prayers more. Whew. That's good. Not knowing what to pray. Yeah.
Feeling guilty for back to Stephen's distractions. Like I'll start to pray and then I'm like, did I start the dishwasher? Oh shoot, I have to get the laundry out. And then like I start doing things in my head. I'm like, oh man, I was praying. Where was I? And
yeah.
I feel guilty.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes the struggle, Becca was talking about, like sometimes the struggle that you're praying, maybe you're a night prayer, and then you like all of a sudden fall asleep, and then you wake back up, and you're like, oh Lord, I'm so sorry, did you leave? Please forgive me for my sins, as I forgive this others who've sinned the same way. Right, like, you're just like, oh man, I feel, and that, I think that's a lot. Ooh, that's a good thing. Can I just ask a really honest question? When it comes to prayer, how many of you feel guilty sometimes about how much you pray or don't pray? I mean, man, it's hard sometimes. What else? Anybody else? ADHD. Are you calling me out right now? It's okay. Like, I mean, I got it. I'm there. Like, we ping pong and all the things. Yes. And then I come. Waiting. Man, in the Psalms, one of the things that I remember is, how long, O Lord, until you hear me? Right? And we compare that with being sons and daughters and how much, like, why aren't you listening to me if I'm your son or your daughter? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and in our culture, waiting is the worst, right? It is one of the hardest things to do. Yeah. Oh man, right? They say like the prayer of a righteous person has much power. And then the question is like, am I really righteous then? Or am I not righteous enough? Whew, man, that's so good. I want you to hear a couple stories from friends of mine. I'm gonna have ask Grace, Lauren, Ralph, and Emma to come up, and they're gonna share a little bit about their story of prayer. And because Emma got up here first, she's going to go first.
So prayer was something that never really came to me right away. As Pastor was saying, I've never, like, gone to prayer as, like, the first thing. And I've always been, like, really good about reading my Bible, but, like, prayer was just, like, it just, like, I just couldn't pray. It wasn't like I couldn't, but, like, I just, like, I didn't think I had the right words to pray, and it felt really awkward, and I wasn't really sure why it was feeling awkward. But then, like, this was a while ago, but I'm going to take the sermon from, I actually remember the sermon. It was the day of the Taste of Unite, and the sermon was about how God uses things that, like, can hurt you and feel, like, really hurtful, and he uses that to grow closer to you. So, like, if something hard happens in your life, yeah, like, but he's going to use that to bring you closer because he knows you're strong enough to get through that to bring you closer. So something like, I lost like a friend, like not like they like died or something, but they like kind of like got out of my life because like we just didn't see each other as much. We didn't go to the same school. So that was like hard at the time. But then I realized, I started praying about it, and prayer was never the thing I came to. But prayer was always something I struggled with, but I was praying about it, and I was like, okay, like, this is probably why I'm praying about it, because God is using something that was hard in my life to get me to pray, and now it's becoming more of, like, a normal thing, and yeah, I still, like, don't pray all the time, and I still have, like, many things to work on, but, like, God is gonna use what, like, hurts you the most in the way you think it is, but he knows you're strong enough to get through it, and you will slowly start building the habits you want, and because God has put those things there to, like, grow you as a person and grow you towards him. And I just think that was really cool.
Well done. I love that we're starting with prayer. And I think the kids kind of covered it. I loved all the dimensions to it. Confession. I feel like I'm not very good at prayer. And I suspect that most people feel that way, and it makes sense, because when we pray, here we are as very limited humans, very fallible humans, coming to the God of the universe in glory and having a conversation with him. So we need to bring our full attention, mental and emotional energy, and I find I always hesitate a little bit before praying. There's just a natural resistance to it. But we know it's super important because Jesus, who was Son of God, prayed a lot. He lost sleep to do it. He went out into the wilderness away from people to do it. And he taught us to pray. And there was one episode, if you remember, when the disciples failed to cast out a demon. And they said, why can't we do that? And he said, this kind only comes out by fasting and prayer, which is to say, number one, prayer is really important. And number two, it's really powerful. And not just for asking for things, which God invites us to do, but also, and as we heard this morning, it's about our relationship. It's about drawing closer. And I think one of the hardest things about prayer is the listening aspect of it. not filling the time with words. I don't think it matters. God doesn't care if we say the right words. He matters about our attitude of the heart as we come to him, as we humble ourselves before him, as we submit to him, listen to him. And that takes practice. I think it's hard to listen. And, you know, he's given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit. So the Holy Spirit works with us. Deep calls out to deep and guides our thoughts as we pray, helps us see areas where we need to grow, things we need to pray for. Yeah, I do think that's one of the hardest parts about it. I find in my personal prayer life, when I was working, I prayed in the car on the way to work. And it actually worked. I mean, just finding the time to do it, but now I have more time to do it. I use the Lord's Prayer as a sort of a template, an outline. And you can expound on each of the areas in the Lord's Prayer, like Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise, adoration, humility, submitting to the Lord, glorifying him, drawing close to him. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray that God's mercy, love, justice would fill this universe and redeem it. Come quickly, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. It's all about supplication for ourselves, for others, intercession for the world, and so forth. So that's the pattern that has worked for me. And then throughout the day, Paul says to pray without ceasing. Mm. I don't think any of us do that. But just remembering that God is there and keeping that relationship alive, even though it may just be a moment that we just call out to God. So, yeah, I think it's really important that we do it, and I think it's not easy. Prayer is hard work. Tim Keller said that prayer is always work, and I think that's true. But it's really important that we do it, and it helps us to grow. Yeah.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to talk to you. Prayer is a way to communicate with God. And as we know, communication is a two-way approach. So as we speak to him, he will speak to us. Personally, I like to start my prayer with praise and adoration. Psalm 100 verse 4 says that we should enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. After expressing my gratitude, I confess my sins, just to ensure I'm being honest as I approach him. For a verse in the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and no one is holy, even though we all strive towards being holy. Confessing your sin in the beginning is important, because we've all done some things that we're not proud of. And unless we confess our sins, our prayers may not reach God. After confession, I pray for my needs and for the kingdoms, which includes the church, his work, laborers in the kingdom, new converts, etc. Matthew 6, verse 10 says that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This shows that our prayer should extend beyond our personal needs to include the needs of the church. Also, we should also pray for when we're afflicted or in sick or in trouble, because we've all been there, and it's good to pray when we're in that situations. Mm-hmm. In summary, prayer works. Yeah. It helps our situations.
Did you hear that? Prayer works.
And we should pray. Like, I heard a saying called PUSH, which stands for pray until something happens. So
she's so good.
So let's push, church.
Yes.
Wow. Wow, such wisdom. Love it. Well, when I was thinking about prayer over my lifetime, it's been a long time of developing prayer. Even though I grew up in a Christian household and my great-grandfather was a covenant pastor, I don't remember seeing people pray. My dad jokes that his grandpa prayed for 20 minutes while the food was getting cold at Thanksgiving. But we prayed like the rote prayers, like, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, not like crying out to God for what we needed. And then when I was a teenager and we were in San Diego visiting my Aunt Jackie, we were driving to Tijuana and she's praying out loud to Jesus for a parking spot on the way. And I thought it was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen, honestly. So then I went to CHIC, which is now Unite, and I remember in the dorm time afterwards being like asked to pray, and I was so embarrassed because when I pray out loud, tears stream down my face, still till this day, and I was just mortified. And then I was going to MOPS here, now MomCo, when Adam was little, and every week I'd see these moms going into a room, and I said, what are you guys doing in there? And one said, oh, we're praying for our kids and the elementary school. And honestly, my heart leapt with joy. I was like, what? You can do that? You can pray for your kids and their school? And so when Anna was a kindergartner, I started a Moms in Prayer group for Creekside Elementary. And that has really transformed my relationship with prayer. Praying. And honestly, I love that it's one accord prayer, which means conversational prayer, short prayers, many voices praying for one thing at the same time before we move on to the next thing. And I love that you guys have mentioned the four steps of prayer, because to me, instead of being like, oh, it's a format, to me it's like, oh, this is freedom, because we should start with praise and then confession. Oh, yep. There I went again. And then the Thanksgiving, because we have so much to be thankful for. And then, I know these are fancy words, intercession, supplication. But you guys, it's just asking God what I need. That's it. And I love that God cares about the details of my life and my kids' lives. And then one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible to me is from Romans 8, 26 through 27. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Isn't that amazing? The Spirit prays for us. And in accordance with the will of God. And I love that. I love to add that to my prayers. I just write a little ATGW, because I only want things in my life that are according to God's will. If I'm asking God for something that is not a right request or not in his plan, I don't want it. So another few favorite verses. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And then one more, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, I think it is just a relationship. Like, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, good morning, Jesus. And I'm going to bed. I'm like, good night, Jesus. Like, I know that he loves me and I am his beloved child and I'm created in his image, and there's nothing I will ever do to change that. So thanks for listening.
Friends, one of the things that I want to reiterate, and I hope you heard, is that I hope you heard something from someone else that might be like, oh, that's exactly what I've been feeling. And it's not just something for you to walk away with and be like, okay, I'm taking that with myself. But to go and to begin to grow with one another who is maybe encouraged you in a way, or is commiserated on a struggle. And so this is what an encouragement. And I want to end with a couple of things. If you're not praying because you're just worried, it's not how you pray. But Jesus just wants to know that you are praying. Like, Jesus just wants to be in communion and in communication with you. He's not worried so much, even though his disciples asked him, how do I pray? In that section right there, he goes, when you pray. When you pray. It's not how you pray that he is so worried about. It's when you pray. Jesus wants more of your heart and your life than he wants a ritualistic conversation with him. And then the other thing that we want to talk about this morning as we wrap up, and just as an encouragement to you, is that prayer isn't about getting something from Jesus. It's just about being with him. There is a part and a huge part of my life that has been asking and asking and asking for things. But I want to say that Jesus gives not because I ask, but because I'm his son. God meets me at the throne room, not because I deserve it, but because I'm his. God meets you, the Holy Spirit meets you, not because you have done anything right, but because he loves you. And so as we end this time together, I want to encourage you with something that we'll be talking about throughout this series. And I want this to resonate in your heart as you think about it. Practicing leads to transformation. Oh, sorry. Practice leads to becoming. Becoming leads to transformation. And transformation leads to life. If you're wanting to get to that life that Jesus talks about, start practicing the way of Jesus. And then become like him. And as you become like him, your life will be utterly transformed and you will find the life that you've always been seeking. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you have been here this morning and you have been speaking through a myriad of voices. What are you saying to us this morning as we have this conversation? For those who know this communication very well, for some of us who this is infrequent, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us this morning? Holy Spirit, where in our lives are you asking for us to open ourselves up just a little bit to you? That maybe our prayer is just practicing your presence. Or Holy Spirit, maybe it's, I'm going to talk for a while. Would you listen? And then after that, I'll stop talking so that I can listen. Holy Spirit, where are you asking us to open ourselves up to the practice of prayer? Holy Spirit, you are our God and we are your people. Amen.